Praise be to the name of the Lord for the privilege of being here again today to hear His precious and holy word. As we sang the last song, the thought came to me, how often and how quickly do we say, Lord, I am ready to serve you, to do everything for you, to live for you, and so on. But when it comes to practice, to become doers of the word, then there is a distance between the confession of our lips and the deed. May God really give grace that we really put the last so short time we have left at His disposal. And as Paul could say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That it just would really become like this. I believe that the Lord, the longer the more, will work all that He wants to see in us. For no one can take anything from himself unless it is given to him by God, by grace. I would also like to welcome everyone this morning in the precious name of the Lord. I would like to know who is in our midst for the first time this weekend. May I see your hands, or would you stand up? Who is here for the first time this weekend? Stand up, please. Very nice. God bless you. Be welcome. The Lord bless you. Amen. We rejoice with all our hearts. As I said last night, especially that doors are opening, borders are being opened. And yesterday, when I was flying from Geneva via Frankfurt to Düsseldorf, I read in the various newspapers. In one of them was really written, Mr. Bush took a piece of the Berlin Wall to give it to Gorbachev to remind him that it had stood long enough. And you just see how things take their course. And as I said last night, it is not enough that we watch what is happening prophetically and taking shape. We have to make use of these times, because when all things have reached a point where you can no longer buy, no longer sell, no longer preach, and so on, then it will be too late. We have to redeem the time now. And the Lord God will certainly give us grace to do so. I would also like to continue today with our word observation. You all know, a preacher of the word can speak about parables. One could speak about the prodigal son this morning. One could talk about how a woman had 10 pennies, lost one, and searched until the penny dropped or until she found it. One could actually talk about so many parables and use the time with them. The only question would be whether God can then accomplish what He wants to accomplish in this so important and serious time. Parables, we can read them specifically in Matthew 13, and I would like to read at least one verse from it, which gives us great insight into the fact that there are two words or two terms in one verse. On the one hand, parable, and on the other hand, right in the second verse, it then says of the mysteries, I read to it Matthew 13, verse 10 and 11. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The parables contained mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. All the others only heard the parables, but did not know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven contained in those mysteries. And the Lord himself immediately gave the explanation, referring to the prophet Isaiah. And so from verse 12 it is written, For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Do you see what it's all about? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The Lord spoke in parables, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But in these parables were hidden the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They were veiled in parables. And later you can read it, probably in the Gospel of John, possibly in chapter 16, where then says, He no longer spoke to them in parables. John chapter 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in parables. Do we understand this? The hour is coming when I will no longer wrap things up and cover them, so that they will not be seen. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables, but will speak to you freely and openly. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Do you notice? The prophet Isaiah said, With seeing eyes they see not, with hearing ears they hear not. They have no understanding, no revelation, no access in their heart. It is different with the believers. To them, the spirit of revelation, wisdom, divine wisdom, real revelation through the Holy Spirit, not what a man has to say, but what the Spirit says to the churches. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, "We do not speak with words of human wisdom, but as the Spirit teaches, thus we speak. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of understanding. It is a kingdom that is penetrated, guided, shaped, and led by the Holy Spirit. And all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. And the Spirit of God leads into all truth." Beloved, I don't think we need to talk about conversion this morning. I believe we have been converted to the Lord. I believe we may continue today, as already last night, to put the word of prophecy on the lampstand for us as believers, in order to recognize even better, even more thoroughly, the time in which we live, in order to illuminate from all sides, from the Scriptures, what is really going on now. For in a very short time, it will all be over. And if ever there was a time when we need to open up ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to give us enlightened eyes of the heart, then it is now, and have revelation through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, in verse 19, it is still written, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The word of prophecy. We cannot say it often enough that we are now living in a prophetic age. With this it shall be said, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled in our generation, and we have to search the Scriptures to see the progress of this development and to realize from it how close we have come to the end. Again, I would like to say that there is no place for politics in this place. And yet there are things that simply intertwine and need to be mentioned. We look at the beloved people of God, at Israel, sometimes with inner pain, especially in connection with this, when you notice how anxious they are to be recognized by the Pope. I don't know how you all follow things and what is going on in your minds or hearts, but I watch these things very closely. And why? I will tell you. It says in the prophet Daniel that this man will make a covenant with Israel. Today, we would say he will establish diplomatic relations. And especially when the Pope, as the arch enemy of the Jews, had himself celebrated in the synagogue in Rome like the Messiah himself, and Psalm 150 was sung, there was always one request: to be politically recognized. Things are on the way. And I tell you already now, the rapture of the bride church and the making of the covenant between the Vatican and Israel coincide very closely. We don't have time today to go into the prophetic word, but I know what I'm saying, and what I'm saying is according to the word of God. We have really to pay attention to every phase of development in our days. Mr. Glenn will be in Israel soon to plead his case. I don't want to go into that at all. Let us enter into our word observation, which concerns us today, or which helps us to get the overall picture. And we want to point this out again, not one-sided, but to get an overall view of what is going on now. And I maintain that there is no better informed people in these days than the people of God. Because where divine revelation is not, people are in the dark. They puzzle, they guess. But where the word of prophecy has found a place and has been revealed by the Holy Spirit, it has become a bright light shining in a dark place. I would like to read the Old and New Testament together again, as the Lord has given me to do, and I cannot do otherwise. Let us go to Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2 from verse 11. How many believe that the Old Testament is also the Word of God? Amen. Most certainly, amen. Amos, chapter 2, from verse 11, here it says, "And I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites, those consecrated to God. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, Prophesy not. This is how the Lord judged the situation, and believe me, nothing has changed to this day. People always remain as they are, but God also remains God. Only those who take His side will hear His word, accept it, and be grateful for it. Ye commanded the prophets, saying, Prophesy not. If a prophet is no longer allowed to speak prophetically, then what is he supposed to speak? That is precisely his task. That is what he is here for. A preacher is here to preach. An evangelist is here to evangelize. A teacher to teach. A shepherd to look after the sheep. But a prophet is here so that God can speak and reveal through him, even speak what he wants to say. That is what he wants to say through the mouth of a prophet. There is a second scripture in Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7 from verse 12. Here we see what was done with a prophet. Amos 7 from verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, it is the king's court. Nice argument. Right there in the highest place, it was appropriate after all. Prophets, like Elijah for example, and others, were sent to all the people, and they have had to proclaim in the highest place what God had told them to proclaim. Now here he shall go away, for the place where he began to proclaim and to make known what God had commanded him was not fit for this royal house. Then it goes on to say, Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I am not a prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Very nice. Not a prophet from infancy, as we read in Jeremiah. Even before thou was formed in the womb, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, and have consecrated thee. Here we find a man who was later ordained and called to this ministry. And he gives his excuse and says, I am not a prophet at all. I come from no school of prophets. I am a grower of mulberry figs. And then he even says, but the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. There are men who are called to do this from the beginning. There are others who are then appointed by the Lord, and they are called. Elisha was plowing. He was called. Wherever they were, didn't matter. When God wanted to speak, he found someone to speak through, to say what he had to say. In verse 16 it says, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. Beloved, it is quite a serious thing when God sends someone whom he himself calls a prophet. We know, specifically in Matthew 24, the Lord spoke about this, that in the last days there will be many false prophets, false Christs, but the same Lord also gave the promise that a prophet would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord breaks forth upon the earth, and that God needed someone to speak through in this prophetic age is clear to us all. A preacher, an evangelist, has his place, and let each one fill it well and carry out the ministry according to God's will and good pleasure. But the evangelist cannot take the place of a prophet, just as the prophet cannot take the place of an evangelist. Each in the field, in the task God has given him. In the New Testament church, two, at most three prophets should speak. That is how Paul wrote it to the Corinthians. And we are very grateful to God that in the church at Corinth, unlike Ephesus, some things went haywire. So the man of God has left these biblical ordinances in writing so that we have spiritual orientation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, from verse 29, it says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. Very clear, doesn't need any interpretation. Let the prophets speak two or three. New Testament prophets are not men who only predict things, but who can recognize and classify the word foretold by the prophets through revelation, so that we have spiritual orientation. All things were foretold after all. That's how it is written in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Yes, in the Son he not only spoke, in the Son he himself gave the answer and became man for the sake of mankind, in order to bring mankind back into the divine state. He, who was in the form of God, became man in order to bring humanity back into the divine state. He became the Son of God to make us sons and daughters of God. What a plan of God! And how glorious that we not only see this plan and not only recognize it, but have actually become a part of this divine plan by grace, born again unto a living hope which we carry in us as sons and daughters of God. And we may exclaim with the Apostle John, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, then we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is." The return of Jesus Christ will not be spiritual. The same Jesus who was taken up to heaven will come again in the same manner as he ascended, and we shall be changed, and together with those who sleep in Christ, who will rise first, we will be raptured to meet the Lord, and then be with the Lord at all times. Beloved, in this place we believe God's word as it is written, and we believe that God will literally fulfill every word. When it is written that God will bring those who have already fallen asleep with Christ, then he will bring them. If it is written that the dead will rise first, then they will rise first. If it is written afterwards we who are alive and remain will be changed, then we will be changed, because God's word says so. And if it is then written that at the same time we will be raptured, then the meeting point is not in Arizona, then the meeting place is not in the Soviet Union or in Germany, then the meeting place of the bride with the bridegroom is in the air, and together we will then go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is the Holy Scripture. That is what God's word teaches. Everything else is fantasy. There's more here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 30, "If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." What a wonderful word! We are all alone here today. Let us suppose that during this preaching of the divine plan of salvation, one point did not come to its right, and the Spirit of God insisted that this point also should still be illuminated. Then Brother Rus, if the revelation is given to him by the Spirit, or another brother could stand up and come forward and illuminate that point which has not been sufficiently illuminated by the revelation which just has been given to him. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what God's word says here. I wish that this condition would be here soon. For not everything is given to one. God has distributed it, and for that we are thankful. Now we come to a statement that is quite important. Verse 31, "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted." And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Here it is not only the Spirit of God that is spoken of, but the spirits of the prophets, the spirit of prophecy, which manifests itself in manifold ways. We have it here in chapter 12. We can read it. The revelation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the benefit of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Here we are talking about prophetic spirits. There is indeed a prophetic part of the plan of salvation, which is so extensive and must be examined from all sides. Prophetic spirits, not evangelistic spirits, not teaching spirits or shepherding spirits, but as it is written here, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I don't know how much you can do with that at the moment. I want to read on from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, to show you very clearly, to show you infallibly from the scriptures, that this term is applied specifically to the prophetic part in the Holy Scripture. Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets. Have we noticed? I read from the scriptures, not by rote. I read from the scriptures. These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done. When the Spirit of God comes upon one or the other to reveal the prophetic part, it is a direct action of God. Then not only an evangelistic sermon is heard, then God is heard. Then the Spirit speaks through people's mouths to expound the prophetic part and to give insight and overview to God's people. It goes further with this term, spirits of the prophets, in connection with the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 19. The last words from verse 9 and then verse 10, Revelation 19, the last sentence of verse 9 and then verse 10. These are the true sayings of God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John came to the Isle of Patmos, or was banished there, for what? For the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus. That's what it says in chapter 1. No other purpose, persecution or no persecution, being banned or being not banned. God had a purpose in that too. We may sometimes think, does this have to happen? Let's let God take care of it. Let's let him act. He will turn everything for the best. You all know, I spent 1 week on the Isle of Patmos a few years ago and sat in the only cave there is. There can be no other cave where John was, and read there the Revelation. I have forgotten how many times. I just read the Revelation over and over again. And I tell you, I was grateful to God at the end of days for the clarity, for the light, for all that God has given. There are moments in the life of a believer that seem more important than others. There are days and hours, there are experiences that you just can't forget. Not that it is a place, but especially when you open yourself to the Lord and inwardly let the revelation become the revelation. Here the revelation is written black on white. That is not enough. It has to be revealed to everyone through the Spirit. The revelation must become revelation, and then it becomes light around us. The testimony of Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy. We have heard the spirits are subject to the prophets. And of course, the prophets are also subject to the spirits. Otherwise, God could not do that at all. God does not need people to be submissive. Accusative case. He needs people who are submissive to Him. And God knows exactly what He does and whom He takes, through whom He can speak Himself. He knows exactly. Through Him, I can present my own thoughts. I can speak through Him. He has no program of His own. That's how it was with all the prophets, with the man God sent. Coming back to last night and connected to the word we just read of the Spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus, let's go to Revelation 12. We have now arrived here. Revelation 12. In verse 17 it says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." We have read, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. So there must be people who receive the same testimony of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of prophecy must be active in the church in the last days. The church is founded on revelation, connected with faith in Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say then? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. From the beginning, revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is how it goes on until the end. What does Paul write to the Corinthians? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. It must be revealed through the Spirit. People have the testimony of Jesus. And who are they? Those who have understood and received the prophetic ministry and thus put themselves on the side of God in this generation. For only those who recognize and are found in what God has ordained for this time and is doing now can have a share in what God is doing. Those who do not go along cannot have a share in it. It is not only like that today. It has always been like that. That may sound hard to someone, but it is not hard. In the days of John the Baptist, whoever passed by his ministry passed by God with kettle drums and trumpets, with singing psalms and playing the organ, and whatever else was involved. Do we understand this? Whoever bypassed Jesus Christ in his days and said, "We do not want this one to rule over us," and so on, he passed by what God did. It was not a question whether one belongs to it or not. It was a question of life and death, of being or not being. Every time, all those who were pardoned by God, recognized the time of their divine visitation, and whoever did not recognize the time that God gave by grace, he had to be put up with judgment coming upon those who did not accept grace. So again, testimony of Jesus Christ. And I believe that it is really the Holy Spirit connected with Bible prophecy who gives us as the people of God divine enlightenment in these days. And that also the word of prophecy shines in bright light. How grateful we are to God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And also there it is written, no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except through the Holy Spirit. So it is to this day. Many can retell a thing, but of your own accord, out of inner conviction, you can only do it if it has really been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And then you know that Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Then you know it by divine revelation. Then the Pope and the devil can come. Then all people can come. Even if you can't explain it, in your heart you know it. Revelation is a divine substance and not a thing we imagine, but a real substance by grace. Everything is based on revelation. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, even today. And men have racked their brains how God can be one or can be three, that He's in heaven and on earth and prays here and is there to answer, and so on. We don't rack our brains at all. We exult in our hearts and say, as written in Deuteronomy, God is in heaven above and on earth beneath. He can reveal Himself how He wants and where He wants at the same time. Is God no longer in heaven when He's on earth? And when He's on earth, is He no longer in heaven? Shall heaven then be empty? He fills the whole universe and says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Yes, then where is He not? David says in Psalm 139, if I went to the end of the earth, you would be there. And if I went to hell, you would be there. And your hand would also lead me there. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. And this one true God, who only exists and will exist, has revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ. He could say, He who sees me sees the Father. How grateful we are for this revelation. How many have puzzled, struggled, wanted to understand. Now is not the time of understanding. Now is the time of revelation. I want to continue reading from Revelation chapter 13, very important words and verses to continue with last night. I don't know whether we can touch upon all this without going deeper and longer and further into these things. Perhaps for the sake of context, from Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 12, verse 3, and the first part of verse 4, and there appeared another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. Perhaps up to here. And I want this to be not just a sermon, but a biblical teaching that we pay attention to, namely that which is later shown as the beast on earth with seven heads and ten horns is shown beforehand as the dragon who is up there but is cast down. And this is important in that we see where Satan has set up his direct throne on earth. Upon me comes a holy wrath. When people look for this man among the Jews and among the Gentiles, and not where he is or the place. And if the Bible clearly describes him and the place, then even a blind man with a cane should be able to feel it. John saw a fiery red dragon in heaven. Satan, the old serpent, is still addressed like that in Revelation 20, in the first verse. Revelation 20, verse 1 or verse 2. Or just verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and so on. I want us to see it very clearly. Just as the living God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and called a living church into existence here, namely the Church of the Living God. So Satan has done his thing, has his representative and his cause here on earth, which he presents as the cause of God. I want to read on in chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 9, and then verse 13. In verse 9, we read, Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This great dragon, Satan, the devil, has been cast down and will be cast down again at the very end. He has set up his throne on earth. I'm going to read it to you from the Holy Scripture. In verse 13 it says, Revelation 12, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So first above, then overthrown, and continued here below. Seven heads, ten horns. Thus the dragon appeared in heaven. Now I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 13, from verse 1. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Do you see what it is? The same thing that John saw above, Satan that he saw above, that was cast down, made the same thing here, seven heads, ten horns. There is nothing more satanic on earth. I read on. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Then it says, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Have you heard? Who gives this beast power that comes out of the sea? What do waters and seas mean in Bible prophecy? You can read about it in Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 15. And he says unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now here comes forth a beast out of the sea of nations, and a dragon gives to this beast his power and his throne. Have we understood this? Have we understood this? That's what the Holy Word of God says here. How thankful we are for every passage of Scripture that we can but read, for every text that brings more enlightenment until the whole picture is clear to us by revelation. You can read on. Afterwards, the dragon who gave power to the beast is worshipped. I am not a person who judges, because I myself need mercy from God to the end. But mankind is not even aware that they are not worshipping God. They don't even know it. They think they go to worship. Yes, what kind of service is that? When you look around the building where there's supposed to be a service and you see all the many idols and everything, where is the worship service? There is no worship there. Worship is where the Holy God can reveal Himself and be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Not where one falls down before a Madonna in Częstochowa. I don't even know who put it there, who fabricated it. God certainly didn't. All this too will be made manifest. It must be brought to the people. There's no other way. So you see that the devilish thing here on earth is connected with the devil himself, just as the divine thing on earth is in connection with God. Two different kingdoms. One, the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. The other, the kingdom of Satan through the Antichrist. This is to be clearly proclaimed into all the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is on the side of God and not on the side of the Antichrist. And do not think that this is meant badly, but really good, namely for those who do not yet see the matter clearly, but which must be said very clearly. I read on, so that you can see that not only is a whole power addressed as a beast, but suddenly also an individual who presides over this power. I sometimes smile when I read, especially in foreign newspapers, about the time of the Third Reich. There it is very rarely said the Germans, always Nazi Germany and Hitler's Germany and so on. People are all very tactful, not like me, who has to let the cat out of the bag and doesn't beat the bush, but treats what is hidden under the bush, sometimes not so gently. That is simply part of preaching the word. But all of us who have been there can remember how often the beast was spoken of. There was a common word in the years of the Third Reich. If anyone came in a yellow uniform that had some insignia on it, the old people would say, "That's a high beast." Do you know that expression? Of course, we all know it. Always. And if anyone has two things here, and then a few here, oh, that's a high beast. That's in the vernacular, even today. Even today it's being said. What do I want to say now? I don't want to say anything. I want to let God say what He has already said. Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him. Who is this him? It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him, not them, him, over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Who is this him? That this great power is there, we all know. But who is this him? This him who embodies this power, the one who determines how the power is exercised. We no longer puzzle over that either. Satan has his representative here on this earth, and all power is at his disposal. You all know, when the Lord went through the temptations, Satan already offered him all the kingdoms of the world. But our Lord knew that when the time came, he would be the heir lord over the whole earth. And the moment he will set one foot on the land and the other on the sea, as the original owner, that will be heard in heaven and on earth, and everything will tremble, because that is the moment when he will make his claim. He has not only redeemed us, he has also destined this earth to be renewed, and a millennium takes place here, and then also for a new heaven and a new earth to come. Power over all peoples, tongues, and nations. Who will exercise this power? Someone from the USA or Russia? None of us believe that. Or from China? No one believes that either. Anyone who has a little fear of God and knows the Holy Scriptures knows from where the power will be exercised. And we are not mistaken. We may not be spared a short time where we will feel it, but everything God allows will only serve to detach us even more from this earth and simply cry out, "Come soon, Lord Jesus, and put an end to all this misery." God will know what is necessary for this, so that ultimately the Spirit and the Bride will say the same thing, namely just exclaim, "Come, Lord Jesus." Today, it is not quite like that yet, but it can become like that very quickly. I would like to read very briefly from Revelation 17 concerning this he or him, this individual. Revelation 17, just two verses. Revelation 17, verse 9, maybe then verse 11. Revelation 17, verse 9. "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Have you all read it? The seven hills or the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is enthroned. Where else on earth is the seven hills city where the world church would rule and reign? Those who have not yet understood the term woman understand very quickly. Just as a woman takes up seed to give birth to life, so the church was destined to take up divine seed into herself, so that sons and daughters of God would be born, and the seed is the word of God. But here is the apostate church, the harlot, the great whore, the woman littered with blasphemous names, not the church. The church is described in Revelation 12, namely with a crown of 12 stars on her head, which means that the New Testament church is crowned with a doctrine of the 12 apostles. And out of this church, out of the truly apostolic church, biblically apostolic New Testament church, the overcomer multitude will be born and caught up to God and his throne. Do you understand that? It says, "He who has understanding, not yours and mine, but divine wisdom coupled with what God gives." And it says, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Then in verse 11 we read, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." Then come the ten horns and all that. I almost have to smile now. I have probably already told you that, but there's no harm in saying it again. Who can believe that you can get a revelation from God in the middle of the Vatican? He who is connected to God, he gets it. I have really experienced it, probably in 1964, I went on a tour with an American group. I joined them. And right before every step we took, the guide told us, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. And that is, we are not in Italy now. We are in a separate state. We are now in the Vatican State." And then he listed what all belongs to the state. And as he thus made this listing, the revelation came about the word we have just read. Is himself the eighth, and yet belongs to the seven. And that's why people can't find him, because he's submerged there. But God has brought him out. Don't you worry. He is the eighth. But actually it's only seven. Seven heads. But one came forth. It's the eighth. And goeth into perdition. We could say a lot more about that and elaborate on it. God has made everything right. Did you know that only since 1929 has the Vatican State been the Vatican State? Did you know how all these things happened? You have to read all this properly and then understand how things have also been prepared for the end times so that everything can take its course according to divine prophecy. Thanks be to the living God for this. He has provided and he will provide until the end. We could read many more scriptures on this. I just want to read Revelation 14, verse 9, and then conclude with Revelation 15. In Revelation 14, and this seems to me to be really important, we have three divine messages. Three angels are seen flying through the heaven, and each of them has a different task. Just as God can show John the dragon in heaven, which is then on earth, and sees the church as a woman in heaven, which is on earth, there with 12 stars, here crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles, so God can also reveal here very clearly that the things that were shown in the heaven are going on here on earth. And you will all say Amen in a moment, don't worry. Revelation 14 from verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. One question. What is written in Matthew 24, verse 14? The gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations for a witness, then the end will come. The gospel, the pure, eternally valid gospel, as preached by our brethren in the apostles' time, must be so preached now, in the end, to all peoples, tongues, and nations. What do you think? Why open all the doors? Why are the borders falling down? Why God is doing all this? But certainly for the fulfillment of His word and the proclamation of His everlasting gospel in the whole world. And as truly as God has said it, so truly will it come to pass. For heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word cannot and will not pass away. Now comes verse 7. And right after the proclamation of the everlasting gospel comes the following statement, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Today they worship the sea and the fountains of water, saying, "Nature is our God." But then comes the exhortation, not to worship what has been created, but to worship the Creator of heaven and earth and give Him glory. There follows a third, verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Anyone who drinks from that cup, he becomes drunk, and he no longer walks the straight path. He can no longer walk it. He staggers to and fro. And here we can open the prophet's word, Jeremiah 51. Such a convincing word that must overwhelm even one who belongs to the system. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Did I write that? The Holy Spirit wrote it. And consider when the prophet Jeremiah lived. The prophets of God were men of God, through whom the Lord could speak, work, foretell things. And listen to this. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be she may be healed. And then verse 9. Believe me, there is no healing. Here it says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go everyone into his own country. Amen. Hallelujah. Those who want to heal Babylon are too late. There is but one cry, come out, ye my people, and be ye separate. There is healing, but not for Babylon, but for all who come out of Babylon, who leave the accursed system behind them, to be blessed by the living God. Why did I have to say this now? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Whoever preaches another gospel than the one we preached, what does it say? Let him be accursed. It is a cursed system. Let this be said to the whole world and give the call, come out, for it is still the time of grace. The gospel is still being preached and people can become believers and come over from the wrong into the right. How many Pentecostals have there been? I myself know the two brothers who laid hands on the Supreme Cardinal Bea at that time in the Vatican so that he is baptized in the Spirit. And indeed, the bodyguards of Cardinal Bea suddenly heard a commotion and went in and pulled these two brothers off him. They shook his head and said, speak, 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 and so on. And he could no longer speak. He felt completely degraded. Many wanted to heal Babylon. And still today, many charismatics think they can heal her. And they don't know that they themselves become ill. That they are not pulling people out, but falling into it. And they don't realize it. I wish that one day the stadium in Düsseldorf will be available to me to preach the word of Almighty God. It urges me to do so with all might. Just as the angels have been shown here and things have been announced, so shall they take their course on earth. Revelation 14 verse 9 it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. But who knows what the mark of the beast is? Who knows who the beast is? Who knows about these things? I repeat myself today. One day, we will be thankful with all our hearts that God sent a prophet in our generation to reveal all these things that we would never have known. And I wholeheartedly include myself in that. I owe it to God to tell the truth. I would not know today what I know, and I could not proclaim what I proclaim, if it had not been for God sending his servant and prophet, upon whom the spirit of prophecy rested, and looked into the word of prophecy, and made known the revelation, which could not be seen before. The word still happens, or still goes, to the prophets. But then there are those who are not prophets, who come from agriculture, who picked mulberries. I once picked a mulberry tree in Hungary, or grew figs. In Israel, we took the figs from the trees, you know it. God then takes those who are not prophets and puts the words of the prophet in their mouths and has it proclaimed to the nations and tongues. I say it openly, I am not a prophet, but I know one thing. I have the word of prophecy by revelation. I carry it in my heart. It has become a part of me. Of you too, has God's word become a living revelation to you? Or do you still have to make an effort? Think about how things are, or are they given to you by revelation? Look how important it is. Just one more scripture. Revelation 15, verse 2. It says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Who will stand at the sea of glass? The broad believing masses who bypass what God is doing and who join in everything? No, there will be the multitude of overcomers, those who stood firm in the trial, who had gained the victory over the beast, over his image, over the number of his name. It will not fall into our laps, nor will it be made easy for us. But by the grace of God, we know, even if a time of trial were to befall us, what then awaits us after the time of trial, namely eternal glory and bliss. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what has not entered into the heart of man, this God prepared for those who love him. And whoever wants to love God, love him completely, not with half a heart, but really completely for Jesus, completely for him. This is how we want to go through life, complete surrender and reception of divine truth, as it has been given to us by grace through the revelation of the Spirit. It is not we who make a difference. God has made the difference, and already has the prophet Malachi announced it in the Old Testament, in the 3rd chapter, or in the 2nd. Then you will perceive the difference between the one who serves God and the one who does not. Beloved, I have said it often enough. We have seen Christ through divine revelation, have been allowed to recognize and know that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is exactly how we have seen through the Antichrist. And it is the Spirit of Christ in us that must be against the Antichrist. For the one and the other are like day and night, like light and darkness. And so we believe that God has graciously visited us in these last days, not only that we could become believers, but to recognize him and the power of his resurrection and the times in which we live, the signs of the times, the divine message of calling out, of correction, of bringing back to the original gospel of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the apostles. For this is what God promised in his word, And this is what is happening before our eyes. It will not be the broad masses. It will be the called out multitude, born of the Spirit and the Word, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, joined to God. Let us go heart and heart joined together, and even between us, it must still become different. The love of God must rule our hearts and minds. We must submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit much more and bridle our tongues unless we serve God with it. Some things still have to change with all of us. God will also give this by grace. To Him, our exalted Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, who still speaks today, still works today, who still regards the church as the golden lampstand, who has the seven angels, the seven stars in His right hand. He is still the one whose right hand is exalted. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. And those who overcome all will be shown as victors at the sea of glass. May the Lord give us His victory, which He accomplished on Calvary, and give us the power to overcome, so that we too may overcome all things and be found worthy to meet the Lord when He comes again to take His own home. To Him, the living God, be praise and thanksgiving, glory and worship, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord. Brother Russ, will you pray? Faithful God, we thank You from the depth of our hearts for Your precious and holy Word, for the Word of prophecy, Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Your Word cannot return void. It must accomplish, Lord, what was spoken by the mouth of the prophets, by the mouth of the apostles. It must come to pass. Lord, we see it in our days, Lord. Lord, not from us, but by Your grace, it has been given to us, Lord, to see it. And therefore we worship You and give You heartfelt thanks for Your mighty Word, even this morning. We have not heard the word of man, we have heard Your Word. Thy Word is truth, Lord. Praise and thanks, glory and worship be unto Your glorious name. People may bypass Your Word, they may not see it, but to Your own You give grace and You give light, Lord, and understanding about Your Word. Lord, thank You. Honor and glory, praise and worship be offered to You. Lord, give grace to all who have come, who have heard Your Word. Give grace to all, Lord, that they may receive it, take it to heart, and offer honor and praise to You. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, now we bring You all the prayer requests of all our beloved. You are the great physician and helper. You are able to intervene. For You there is no border. Lord, whether in the east, west, or north or south, You know Your people. You know the need. You know what each one needs. Lord, we lay before You everything and ask You earnestly, help our dear brothers and sisters. Help, O Lord, who are in need of help, Lord. We trust in You, Lord, and know that You will give beyond asking and understanding. Receive the glory, the praise, and the worship. In Jesus' name. Amen.